Okay, there we go. Now I'm ready. You guys ready? How good was that time? How good is the Lord? Jesus is, he's so good to us. Donovan, you're still plugged in, bro. Donovan's just that in tune with the Lord. He's plugged straight in. Oh, man. Gosh, thank you guys. Thank you for having me. Like, what an honor and a privilege to be here, genuinely. I was, as Steve was sharing, and he's like, oh, we want to honor Josh and Crystal. We just want to bless them. I was like, what are you talking about? You guys have already blessed us. We've had two dinners back-to-back last night and the night before, just with some of you guys here. You know who you are. You don't need to raise your hand or anything. But it was just such an amazing time. I was like, wow, this is a church full of people who love Jesus. And on Friday night, some of the people prayed for us, and we were just so blessed. Like, Crystal and I were just reflecting afterwards. We were incredibly, incredibly blessed. So I am pumped to be here. It's an incredible joy to be here. Just as we're worshiping, I was like, wow, this church loves Jesus. You guys love Jesus. I could just hear just the passionate singing, just people going for it, people hungry for God, people desiring Jesus. And who knows, he's coming back soon. Jesus is coming back soon. I love to think about that. So Steve already said who I am. I'm Josh. My last name is Fanning. If you're a surfer, you'll know that name. McFanning is not related to me, but I like to tell people that he is. So if you ask me, I'll be like, yeah, that's my cousin. I've got some Rip Curl t-shirts that have my last name on it. It's pretty rad. I'm from California, so Southern California specifically, a little city. Some of you guys have been there. It's called San Clemente. It's a beautiful place, kind of not too dissimilar to this, but we'll love it. Love it there. Our church has been called Heritage Church, but now we're going to be Josh Jen San Clemente, which is legit. Come on. We're going to be in the same, I mean, we're already kind of the same church, but now we're going to be like really the same church, you know, like extra, extra the same church. I love that place. I love our church. I'm really excited. You guys will hear a little bit, but really excited for what the Lord is doing in Southern California right now. I got married to Crystal last year. That's my wife. She's taken, okay? Guys, don't even think about it. Yeah, I love you, babe. Tuesday is our one-year anniversary, guys. Can you believe that? Time flies. I feel like literally it was just yesterday. It was our wedding. It was actually like 363 days ago now, so it's a long time. Yeah, thank you. It makes me feel like I'm getting old, honestly, because she just turned 25. I'm about to turn 30, and I'm like, they're laughing because they're like, 30? Oh, I remember 30. 30 was good. Yeah. I'm not old. I just like to joke about it. And then, I just introducing myself a little bit. The last thing I put on here was I'm just a lover of Jesus. I just, like, if I really got to say who I am, Jesus changed my life. He wrecked me. I'll never be the same because of what he's done. Just this week, I mean, I even had an encounter with Jesus again where I was like, who are you? You're so good. He's so good. Yeah, so we got married last year. I got a couple of pictures. I think you guys will see them. Yeah, so that was us standing at the altar. It's a beautiful place in San Clemente that's this old historic building called Casa Romantica. You can see there kind of in the left, that's the San Clemente Pier. Last winter was like an incredibly rainy winter for us, and so we prayed that it would be anything but rain. And the Lord gave us a strong wind. And it was cold and a little, I mean, you can probably see with the ladies' hairs and stuff like that, it's a little bit windy. But yeah, it was a windy day. We were shivering. But it was not raining, so thank you, Jesus. I think there's one more picture of, yeah, that's us. As soon as we said, I do, and I kissed the bride, and I was like, that was genuine joy and excitement right there. That's like years and years and years and years of waiting for Crystal. And then I was like, I got her! That was that. And so, just pause on the pictures for a second, stay there. So we got married in that place, Casa Romantica. You can kind of see a little bit, there's like a little ledge at the base of the picture. It's this amazing place that overlooks the cliff. You saw the view. But actually, so we got married on March 26th, and then about, I don't know, April 17th or something like that, 19th, right about a month later, there was a massive landslide. And you can go to the next picture. And so this was about that right there, that part that fell down the hillside, that was where we got married. And so it was pretty crazy because when we were searching for a venue and we were like, where can we get married? We really loved this place. We're like, Lord, would you provide a way for us to get married there? And there was 2 dates available. It was March 26th, which is our two-year dating anniversary and now our wedding anniversary, or sometime in June. And so we're like, obviously, we'll pick the one in March. Little did we know there was going to be a landslide about 4 weeks later, and we wouldn't even have been able to get married there. And so the Lord really provided for us. And the interesting thing is if you look, you can see like there was like a little bit of a wall there, but there's not really anything supporting that that patio. And actually, over time, that hill just began to erode and erode and erode, and it actually collapsed. And that cliff was not steadfast. It did not stand strong. It didn't stand firm. It fell down and disappeared. And so did the patio. And I want to talk a little bit today about being steadfast in God. And that cliff is, it's really a good picture for us and what will happen to our lives if we're not steadfast in God. So I'll get to it. You guys will hear a little bit about our journey as a church and Crystal and I and why we're here. But first, to talk about steadfastness, the Bible talks a lot about steadfastness. If you just quickly punch in your phone, verses in the Bible on steadfastness, these are a few that you'll get. So 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. I love that verse. That's a good one. That's like one of those ones that I think of when things are getting tough. Steadfast, immovable. That's a beautiful phrase. James 1:2-3 says, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. That's another one. Beautiful verse on steadfastness. And then one more quickly, Lamentations 3:22. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercy never comes to an end. And so there's actually this theme of we're steadfast and we can be steadfast through the things that happen in our lives and the things that maybe God will lead us through. But actually it starts with the Lord. It starts with his love being steadfast. So I wanted to put that one in there because the starting point for all this is God is steadfast. His love is steadfast. It never changes. And so just a couple questions that we can think about, and hopefully I'll answer them, I mean, Lord willing. But the questions are, what does it mean to be steadfast in God? Why do we need to be steadfast in God? And how are we steadfast in God? So as we're going, you can hopefully we'll answer those questions. And just a couple quick definitions, just so you can kind of just see maybe some things that help understand steadfast a little bit more. Webster, you know, the old dictionary. It's got firmly fixed or established, fast fixed or firm. And then another alternative is not fickle or wavering. I like that. Has anybody ever been fickle before? It's like, you just can't make up your mind. Constant, firm, resolute, unswerving. I like that one. Timothy actually talks a lot about swerving from the faith, and steadfastness is a good thing for that, to keep us from swerving. So to be steadfast is to be established, unwavering, firm, but not in ourselves. So I showed that verse from Lamentations. Rather, we need to be steadfast in God. That's the root for us, is steadfastness in his love. God is steadfast, so therefore we are steadfast. My steadfastness is actually, it's rubbish. That's not steadfastness at all. I'm completely wavering. On my own, I'm pretty wishy-washy, and I can't make up my mind. I quickly run away when fear comes. Can anybody relate with me? It's like, on my own, I'm really not steadfast at all. On my own, I'm very afraid, and I don't have a lot of faith. And when things come against me, I'm like, Lord, help. But the Lord is steadfast. And so steadfastness, if you really think about it, it's being established, unwavering, firm in God. And just in case maybe this like piques your interest and you want to dive deeper into steadfastness, James and 1st and 2nd Peter both talk about steadfastness a pretty good amount. So they're good books of the Bible to read. So what does it mean to be steadfast? It's to be firmly set. If we get the picture of the cliff up there again, that cliff was not firmly set. It was not steadfast. It was actually pretty wavering, if you ask me. Matthew 7:24 says, "Everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock." Who's the rock? Jesus. When we listen to Jesus, when we follow Jesus, we're actually, wisdom comes into us, and then we build our house. We build our lives on Jesus. But then Jesus says in verse 26, right after that, the opposite is foolish people build their house on sand. That cliff, I mean, I know it's like, I mean, we're talking 40 meters from the sand. That hill is very sandy. And so that just began to erode and erode and erode. There was no rock. That was not firmly built on the rock. And actually, so I come, you guys are probably like thinking why I'm talking about this so much, but I come from a construction background. So what it actually needed was like some caissons, maybe like a really deep footing or something like that. So like I can actually see there was something in there that we could have put in if they would have just taken the time. But actually they were waiting. They're like, I'm trying to push it out because they had all these weddings planned, well, ours being one of them. So I'm kind of glad they didn't shut it down. But at the same time, maybe they should have. But if they would have just taken the time and reassessed, then they could have saved it. And so sometimes I feel like in our lives, our faith, the areas that we're struggling, if we can just take a moment and reassess, then we can actually go, okay, am I building on sand? Or am I building on the rock? Am I going to be able to stand firm? Or am I going to get washed away with the winds and the waves? And so we need to bolster up our lives. Just like that hill needed maybe like some caissons or some pillars, we sometimes need to bolster up our lives. And so for us, this term of steadfastness, this term of having faith and standing firm in Jesus, I'm really hoping that we can kind of get some things that can help us build up our lives tonight. Does that sound good? So why do we need to be steadfast? So the Lord has a plan for our lives, but the enemy knows it. We know it. The world knows it. And sometimes the enemy will come in, or maybe it's just ourselves or the world, but it'll try and steal us away from the plan that God has for us. And then other times, we come into things in our lives that are actually the Lord putting us through a test or a trial to strengthen us. And so we need steadfastness to make it through those seasons, whether it's an attack from the enemy or just our own foolishness, or it's the Lord testing us. The testing, the Bible says, the testing of your faith produces endurance. James 1:12 said, Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God promised to those who love him. So why do we need to be steadfast in God? Because we'll receive a crown of life. There's a reward for us when we're steadfast in God. Actually, part of us coming into eternity with Jesus is we need to be steadfast. We need to push through the hard seasons. James 1, 2 to 3 says, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds." No one really, I don't like to say we need this, but it's true. Trials are a consistent key, and they're part of the Christian walk in following Jesus. And we actually need trials to strengthen us and to get us further in our relationships with Jesus. And if you think about it, for me, and you guys hopefully will relate, the times where I've grown the most are the times I've been through a trial. And so when we have the Lord in our hearts, when we have this crown of life waiting for us at the end, we can think about that thing, and then actually it is joy that comes into our hearts when we feel like there's a trial coming upon us. And so I love that. It says when you meet trials. So it's not if you experience trials, it's when. So just be ready, guys. Trials are going to come. If we're following Jesus, trials are coming. So hopefully we can be steadfast. John 15:20 says, "Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will also keep yours." So again, it's just this picture of, man, hard times are going to come. Jesus was persecuted. Jesus went through plenty of trials. But for us, we need to be prepared to stand firm in these trials. And a servant is not greater than his master. We are not exempt to these things. So why do we need to be steadfast in God? Because we will experience trials, and the reward is a crown of life. So for us, a big trial as a church was when we joined 412. It was a hard season. We lost probably about half the church because of it. We had about 130 people, and we dwindled down to about 80 people because there ended up being a church split, and a couple of our leaders they weren't down. They didn't really see the value. They were like, why do we need help? And Peter, gratefully, Crystal's dad, my father-in-law, was like, we do need help. Like, our church isn't healthy. We need to grow, and we need to be healthy. And I love Peter's heart. Because he stood steadfast. When people were opposing him and accusing him, I mean, I'm talking meeting upon meeting with different people, trying to be like, guys, no, this is a good thing. And they were just basically slandering him, basically coming against him as strong as they possibly could. But Peter stuck through that trial. I've never, so many times I'm like, how is he doing it? How is he standing firm when all these people are coming against him and accusing him of things that really aren't even true at all? And he stood the test. He stood firm. He was steadfast. And then for us in that season when we joined 412, our church wasn't super big. There was not a lot of young people. Crystal and I were one of 10 young people. And I remember we had this meeting, and it was awesome. We left totally excited and on fire. And I talked to some of our friends immediately afterwards, and they're like, this is crazy. Why would we ever want to be a part of this? Like, this doesn't make any sense. And I remember that night looking in the mirror and I asking the Lord, I was like, Lord, am I going to lose all my friends? And I felt like he said, yeah, am I worth it? And I was like, yes, Lord, you're worth it. You're worth it. And so for us in that season, it was like Jesus reminding us that he is the treasure in the field. And he is that crown of life that we receive. And so in spite of losing all of our friends, I mean, we really, like, we needed friends in that season. We needed people to come alongside us. And we had a season where we had our families, which thank you, Jesus, for that. But we didn't have any friends quickly after that for a few months where it was just her and I. And we really didn't have anybody to come alongside us or to build with or even just to do fun things. And we were longing for friendship. And gratefully, the Lord answered our prayer. I feel like he rewarded us for our steadfastness in choosing him. And now we have some amazing friends in our church. And like, we love them. We're super grateful for them. But just that question of Jesus asking me, am I worth it? Am I worth it? And so in this same season of, I'm just going to continue on the story for a little bit, guys. You tracking? So in this same season when we were joining 412, my dad was actually busy almost dying from COVID. So he got COVID really, really bad in the end of 2021. He ended up going to the hospital. He was put on a ventilator. He was in basically in a coma for about 4 weeks. And all in that time, at the same time, our church was trying to make it through this transition into joining 412, which I'm grateful we did. But at the same time, we were trying to save everyone we could. And we actually didn't save everyone because there just was opposition and people weren't ready. They weren't in for this. And so we were trying, like we were pushing through. And I just remember like crying out to the Lord and just going like, God, like how can we get through this season? Like it felt like everything was coming against us. Like all the things that I love, my church, my dad, like our friends, it felt like everything, we were potentially losing it all. Gratefully, my dad ended up being healed and it was like a miracle. There was a day where we weren't really sure if he was going to make it. The doctor called my mom and said, like, prepare for the worst, basically. Like, it looks like he's not going to turn around. And my mom was like, no. We all decided, no, we're not going to settle for that. We called a prayer meeting. And, like, that night, some of those prayers were just, like, hearing people pray as fervently as I pray for my dad's healing. I was like, this is a church family. And this was in the midst of our church going through this tough season. And people, even people that aren't in the church anymore, like in our church, I mean, they still are following Jesus, but they came and they were praying fervently for healing for my dad. And the next day, he got off the ventilator and it was a slow recovery from there on out. But now he's like, if you saw him, you would never guess like that he almost died from COVID. But if you saw him then, it was insane. He lost 50 pounds, lost all of his muscle movement. It was crazy. He couldn't even swallow, couldn't lift a finger, but he recovered. And I believe it's because of that prayer time. And I think in that moment, we could have seen this, whether it was an attack from the enemy or whatever, or the Lord maybe testing our faith. We could have seen this giant of my dad's going to die and run away and not trusted God, but we leaned in instead. And we know, Lord, you are a God that heals. And we stayed steadfast on the promises of God, on the fact that there was people prophesying over him, like Mike 2.0, like he's going to be better than he was before coming out of this. And we knew the Lord was going to heal him. And then he did. So yeah, this season in our church, and that, like, for us, this was when we were dating. It was a tough season for us. But the Lord brought us through it. And so since then, we've joined 412. It's been this amazing time where the Lord has been tearing down old stuff and rebuilding the new stuff and the right things in our church. And I feel like it's brought us into this season where Crystal and I have really become just hungry for Jesus on like another way. And we've really had to be obedient to the Lord and follow after Jesus. And for you guys, you're probably wondering how come we're here. So we, in the beginning of last year, right after we got married, we felt like the Lord was calling us to go. and to trust him and to step out in faith and to go and see some different 412 churches and learn and grow and serve and just be equipped. And we had this amazing one morning, right, when we were praying together, well, separately, but praying at the same time. And I remember journaling, writing to the Lord, just feeling like he's doing something different in our hearts. And I said, Lord, I surrender. Where are you leading us? And I felt like he said, I'm leading you beyond your wildest dreams. Just have faith. You can trust me. I love you. And then I wrote, God, are you calling me to quit my job? Like, really, God? And he said, what if I am? Will you trust me? And I said, yes, I trust you. I'll go wherever you send me. And just after that, Crystal and I prayed together, and then we felt like the Lord was saying, be ready. And then later that day, there was an elder in our church. We were talking to him, and he's like, yeah, I feel like you guys just need to go and see some 412 churches and learn and grow and serve. And it was the exact thing that we were both praying about and feeling on our hearts, and the Lord was confirming it. And so he brought us into this season where I feel like the fruit of our steadfastness in the past season with all the stuff with our church and my dad and all that brought us into this other season where we had to be steadfast and have faith and trust in him in a completely different way. And where now we don't have jobs. We quit our jobs in order to follow him. And we're going back home in 8 days and we still don't have jobs. And we're going to figure it out. We're going to have faith and trust him and be steadfast, firm, immovable in the promises that the Lord has over our lives, knowing that he will provide for us. And now we have this amazing opportunity. We're going to become Josh Jen San Clemente. Andrew's moving to our little city in California to be a part of our church. And there's so much hope. And so I look back on this like old season that we went through that was tough. And we had to be steadfast through it. And now I see where we are, and I'm like, oh, man, it was so worth it. It was so worth it. And now we have to be steadfast again. It's still hard ground. It's still, like, there's a lot of work ahead of us. But we know that the Lord is faithful. So that's kind of, it was a little bit all over the place. But it's a bit of our story and how we got here and how the Lord has really shown us his faithfulness and how we've been steadfast in him. And I just kind of want to look at a passage in 2 Peter and kind of ask the question, how are we steadfast? So I think of it as building a house. What do you start with when you build a house? What's the first thing you do? You lay a foundation. So I feel like the beginning part of this passage, which is 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, says this: his divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the faith, the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of his sinful desire. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith. Pause. So Peter is talking about the very thing that is our foundation in being steadfast, this very thing that is our foundation in our relationship with God. And it's the fact that God has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, that he's called us to his glory and excellence, that we've received great promises because of Jesus. And through him, we become partakers of his divine nature, and we've actually escaped the corruption of the world because of sinful desire. And so actually, it's the gospel that he's starting with here and saying that this is the reason you have faith. It's because of all these amazing things that Jesus has done for us. And then he begins to build on that. And he says, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, virtue with knowledge, knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness. The NLT says patient endurance, and the NRV says perseverance. So those that word there, steadfastness, think of patient endurance, think of perseverance, think of someone running a race. You know, it's like you're almost to the finish line. Persevere. That crown of life, it's waiting for you on the end of that finish line. Persevere. And we'll go into more into verse 7 in a minute, but it says supplement your faith with virtue. And that word supplement in the NIV is actually add to your. That's what it says. Instead, add to your faith virtue. And so that's why I think of it as building a house. So your foundation is your faith. It's all those things that in the beginning of that passage, it talks about all the good things we have from Jesus. And so that's your faith. That's your starting point. Faith, I feel like, is the key, the foundation for us in being steadfast. I feel like we'll never be steadfast without a real revelation of Jesus. And actually, I think we'll rejoice in trials when we actually have had a real revelation of Jesus. And so faith is that foundation for us. And we add to our faith all these things. We build our house on faith. And so then we add to our faith virtue or goodness. Another one of the translations says goodness. So we add to our faith virtue or goodness. And I feel like faith then produces goodness in us. It's this thing that really is, when we've been changed by Jesus, then all of a sudden there's this goodness in us. Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, lovely, commendable, excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. To me, that's the goodness that faith produces in us. It's all those qualities, just, pure, lovely, commendable, all these things, honorable, true. We think about those things because those are the goodness that faith produces in us. And then it says, add to virtue or goodness, knowledge. And knowledge of what? For me, I think it's the Word of God. If we don't know the Word, we're never going to stand firm. If we don't know the truths that are in Jesus and the promises of God, we're never going to stand firm. We're never going to be able to stare a trial in the face or stare the enemy in the face and stand firm because we're not going to know how or why. And so we have to be rooted in the Word of God. So it's faith, goodness, knowledge of the Word, which is really just knowledge of Jesus. And then add to knowledge, self-control. So you've got faith, goodness, knowledge, and then self-control, which is actually, it's just a fruit of the Spirit. And so if you have the Spirit in you, you're going to be self-controlled. And you're going to be able to stand firm. And so I think self-control is actually a key in standing firm. Because without it, we see these things that come against us or these hard seasons that are perhaps ahead of us. And we just want to run away. And so sometimes we need to tell ourselves, hey, you're going to be okay. And you need to remind yourself of the promises that are in the Word of God. And you need to remind yourself of the good things that you have because of the faith that you have in Jesus. Do you see how I'm working backwards? It's like all these things lead to steadfastness. And we build on top of them. So if we look at building a house, to me, steadfastness is like the framing that supports the house. It's on steadfastness, on these walls, the rest of the house comes together. Without it, you're not going to have a room, you're not going to have a kitchen, a bathroom, a roof. None of those things for the rest of your house come together without steadfastness. And I'm using the house as, you know, analogy for our lives. So add to your faith virtue or goodness, knowledge, self-control, and then comes steadfastness. And so verses 7 through 11, they kind of talk about the fruit of steadfastness. So we've gotten to steadfastness, and the fruit of that is, verse 7, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. Godliness, we become holy as he is holy. when we're steadfast, when we persevere through trials, we become holy like Jesus. We represent God well. We actually have a God that's greater than the thing that's in front of us. Are you guys tracking with me? So, godliness with brotherly affection. John 13:35 says, by this all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. And so once we've had steadfastness and godliness, then we have brotherly affection. It's this. It's what we're in right now. It's the Wednesday nights. It's the coffees. It's the, hey, let's go surf. That's just like something I like to do. Or for me, I love playing basketball at home. Like, let's go play basketball. Or let's just sit around and have a braai. You guys are South African. You have braais, right? Is that, am I in the right country? Braai. There we go. Thank you. It was his. I could hear it strongly. So that's that brotherly affection. Then we'll actually, people will know that we're Christians because of this thing. And so a fruit of steadfastness is we'll have love for each other. When someone else is going through a trial, you can come alongside them and you can say, hey, actually, I've been there before. This is how the Lord got me through it. Let's go through this thing together. And then people will go, oh, actually, they're helping each other. I want to be a part of that. And then we're a good witness for Jesus. And then the last one in that verse 7 is love. And I just feel like, I mean, brotherly affection fits in that too, but I feel like it's love for God, love for his church, love for the lost. We're never going to want to love the lost if we're not steadfast. If we're constantly running from the next thing to the next thing because we're scared or we really don't have faith, we're never going to want to love the lost. We're never going to want to love the church. We're never going to love Jesus if we think that he's always out to get us. And actually, it's those things that lead to steadfastness, the knowledge of God, the virtue, all these things, faith, those are those things that ultimately bring us into love. And verses 8 through 11, they finish strong. It says, for if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fail or fall. For in this way, there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is one of my favorite passages in Scripture. And I love the way it ends. Because we have those fruits initially of steadfastness in the way I'm kind of building this out. Godliness, brotherly affection, love. But then after that, in 8 through 11, we have some more fruit of steadfastness, which is they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful. And so if these things are growing in your life, you're going to be effective for Jesus. You're going to have fruit in your life. And then in verse 10, it says, it confirms your calling and election. So if you have these things in your life and they're growing, you're going to know that you're called by God. You're going to know that you have a destiny in him. And then it says, you will never fall. I love that. Actually, a fruit of steadfastness and trusting in God and putting your faith in him and letting these things build you up in life, you will never fall. That is a beautiful, beautiful verse. That's actually a promise of God. And then verse 11, entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The greatest fruit in this is that we receive that crown of life. That we actually come into eternal relationship with Jesus in his kingdom. And the amazing part is we get to bring other people along with us into that kingdom. And so that's why we need steadfastness in our life. We need to trust God, to stand firm in the faith of God. It's like I'm not moving. Because by that, we can bring other people with us into that eternal kingdom. So kind of just in closing, Jesus does not promise us an easy life when we follow him. I think that gets said sometimes. It's still something I'm trying to, like, swallow. You know, it's like, whew. Jesus doesn't promise me, like, amazing cars or all the stuff that we think is the things that are the fruit of an easy life. But he does promise us that he will be with us. And so really, when we face trials or when there's an attack in our lives or maybe we're just being foolish, we can remember that Jesus is with us. And he is actually the one who's going to help us be steadfast through these things that are challenging us. And so for us now, for Crystal and I, as we're heading back home, I think of our church and the season that we're coming into, and I get excited. I look at the fruit of our lives and how we've been steadfast in God in the past, and I'm like, let's do it again. Let's be steadfast again, because I'm currently experiencing the reward for being steadfast in the past and Jesus in a greater level in my life. And I want him more. I want to see him more in my home. I want to see him more in California. I want to see other people come to know him more. So I'm like looking at this next season and I get excited. Not like foolishly, like bring it on, you know, like I don't want to do that. Like, Lord, if there's anything, can you just, you know, keep me safe? But like, Lord, let's do it. Let's go for it. I think about what we're coming into. And I think about that question that the Lord asked me when I was looking in the mirror. Am I worth it? And I feel like that's a question for us tonight. If trials come against us, if hard times come against us, maybe Donovan, if you want to just come up and play. Is he worth it? Is Jesus worth it? Like I said, we'll never be steadfast without a revelation of Jesus. And so I feel like tonight we have an opportunity to, how are we doing on time? We're doing good. I feel like tonight we have an opportunity, that question, is he worth it? And tonight, if that's hitting your heart, you're thinking, actually, maybe if there was a trial to come today, I don't know if I would be steadfast. I don't know if he is worth it. Maybe if he asks you to give up something in your life, you'd rather have that thing. Maybe it's money. Maybe it's pride. But the Lord is asking us tonight, I feel like, is he worth it? Am I worth it?